find the time to
explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Saturday, 12:30 kickoff between Oregon and Oregon State. This is definitely odd for us.
The Civil War in September.
It's different for us. Here is our weekly visit with Oregon coach Dan Lanning, brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas. Coach, definitely weird for us. How different is a rivalry game in September for you guys?
Yeah, I don't know if you get enough time to let it really sink in. I mean, it's certainly different, but the same note, it's just the next game, too, so... rivalry a little bit earlier is exciting for our guys, but doesn't change a ton. Just not eating turkey today, right? I guess that's the difference.
Oh, yeah.
You could. I mean, I suppose you could have turkey, right?
Yeah, why don't you do that? Make it feel like more like
keep
the real
it norm.
Thing.
It's a good thought. Maybe you should.
Does the move to the Big Ten in this game in September, does it hurt the rivalry from your perspective?
No. I mean, I don't know. I don't really think about that sort of stuff. Rivalry's alive in my mind.
Okay. Well, you played a ranked Oregon State team in each of the last two seasons. Now they've got a new coach. It's a different look. What do they look like on film this year as opposed to the last 2 years?
Well, I think they still look like a team that has an identity. You know, I think that's something I always think about when I think of Oregon State is, you know, the job that they do of putting themselves in position to win games by, you know, not being the flavor of the week team, right? They clearly figure out their strengths and they do a good job leaning into it. And it seems like Coach Bray's done a great job with that again this year.
I mean, obviously they want to run the ball, but I mean, you guys do too. Is that just no matter where you're at, unless you're running some sort of air raid, isn't kind of football boiled down to run the ball, stop the run for most teams?
Maybe most. You know, I think that's the coach's job at each place is figuring out, hey, what are your strengths and how can you lean into them? What gives you the best chance to win football games? And I certainly think that there's a formula. If you can run the ball effectively, that's going to give you a better chance to win games.
So I know, and in the second half there, you guys got it going a little bit, you know, take out the sack yards. The run game actually put up good numbers. How close are you guys to getting the run game where you want it on that consistent basis?
Well, I guess we'll find out Saturday, right? Like you have to go do it on game day. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is we've, you know, shot ourselves in the foot, you know, a couple times when we've had, you know, successful plays going and they get called back because of a penalty here or miscommunication here. So it's certainly something you have to be a successful team. And we'll see what it looks like on Saturday. Our guys have done a good job this week in practice. It's got to carry over to the games, though.
You guys had a couple really big shots against Boise State. A lot of times when you run the ball, you can get that safety down in the box. You get some one-on-ones. Is that kind of what happened with some of those big shots, or was that just, you know, opportunity and your guys making plays?
Probably a combination of a little bit of both, you know. Try to make sure a team can't make you play, you know, left-handed. But when you see opportunities to take advantage of shots, you got to go take advantage of them. I thought our guys did a good job of that. And, you know, one of those was a great kill and call by, you know, Coach Stein where he caught him into pressure and was able to get an advantageous look out there on the perimeter. And, you know, Dylan making a great throw, Trayshawn executing. So a lot of things falling in sync, but it's probably a combination of both things.
Well, you weren't joking about Ashton Genty. My goodness. That guy
is pretty good.
He's incredible.
I tried to tell you, man.
You did. Wow. I'm stunned that he plays at Boise State. Like, I was reading a little bit about him. Not to bog this down, but did you try to get him out of there? Did you recruit him at all?
No, I mean, he was there before before I ever got here at Oregon. You know, he is a talented player for sure, and I think anybody who's watched him play can see that.
Well, how does Oregon State's run game compare to Boise's? I know, obviously, they don't have Ashton Genty, but are there similarities there? Is it a completely different style that you're going to have to try to tackle this weekend?
No, there's some similarities. You know, they're both teams use 12 personnel, which is going to give you longer three and, you know, four-man services. They both like the duo play and stretch play. So there's some similarities. And they have two really good, capable backs as well.
Yeah, and on the downside of things, I don't think anyone will kick the ball to you guys for the rest of the year. So kudos on the two special teams play. But if I'm playing you guys, I'm sorry, that ball is going six yards out of bounds every single time.
Well, if that's the case, that's it. That's an advantage in itself too, right? It's going to give you better field position if teams are kicking away from you. So hopefully get an opportunity to make another positive play on special teams. But if you don't, that means that they're probably giving you an opportunity to have better field position.
Now, can we talk about the real key to the game? Can we talk about your closing speed? Because how the hammy's feeling? Coach, you were trucking there.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel good. I you know, luckily, I don't have to play any snaps for the Ducks. I'm not fast enough to do that. But every once in a while, it feels good to go open it up and see if you can still run a little bit. You know,
that's scary though because there's no stretching or anything. Are you like? I mean, you go from 0 to 100 there. Like that's one of those. You got to be careful as you get older, Coach. You know, you pop a hammy on national TV. You're not living that one down.
You ever see a cheetah stretch? Right?
Wow.
You got to stretch. I'm good.
It's like, right. Gets out and run. It's like being sick. It's a choice, right? Pulling a hamstring's a choice.
Right. Amen. Amen. You're speaking my language.
This is Dan Lanning here from Oregon. Ducks, Beavers on the Fan Saturday. Power rank the level of annoying for a head coach. A dumb turnover, a poorly timed penalty, or dropping the ball before the goal line?
Ooh, gosh. Yeah, all bad, all very bad things. And none of them are good things, but turnovers and lose the ball before it gets to the end zone are obviously huge.
Did the kid who picked up the ball, I got to know this. Did he do that because it was just sitting there or did he know, was that coached?
Well, we've show at every fall camp, we show and, more than that, you know, We show that example, and obviously as a situation I never would have guessed would have happened with our team because it is something we spent time on, but it happened, and I think it's just a great example of getting caught up in the moment. No, that's certainly not his character. Probably one of the last guys on our team I'd ever pick for that situation to show up, but it's something we can grow and learn from, and you know, Jay Lamar was obviously watching and paying attention while we went over that and film and picked the ball up. So big time move by him.
Well, help us understand. What did Noah say? What is the anatomy of a guy who does that? Is he just so excited that he drops it? Like what happens?
No, you know, really here's the reality is you're so hyped up and excited that you feel like you've already crossed the end zone, right? It's not, it's certainly not an intentional. I'm dropping the ball the minute I walk in. He, in his mind, you know, he's running as fast as he can, and he feels like he's already 3 yards, 4 yards into the end zone. But good learning moment, you know, for him, and certainly one that we have to coach better.
How tired of you are answering questions about the offensive line at this point in the year? Is that something that we could do without for the rest of the season?
Well, it means we're doing something right if you're not asking it, right? But when we perform the way that we need to perform, then you guys will stop asking the questions. So that's on me to get it to where you stop asking about them, right?
No, that's
and
true.
That's part of the job. You guys get to ask questions about things that you think you see or don't see, but we get the opportunity to stop those questions from happening by the way we perform. So once we earn that, then you guys will probably stop asking about it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of armchair offensive line coaches out there now.
Oh yeah,
we hear from
Oh man, yeah.
You know. We shield them from you, but, man, they're out there. Is Matthew Bedford ready to go at least?
You know, I think it'll be a game-time decision for Matt. He's been able to practice for some this week, do some things out there on the field. We'll have to evaluate what he looks like, you know, when we get out there.
Okay. So last one on that, but it sounds like we'll continue to see a rotation here for a little bit till a group kind of solidifies itself, correct?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
Tune in on Saturday.
Hey, that's right. Yeah. Tune in on Saturday.
There, yeah, absolutely. Watch the game.
Last question I had for you about Oregon State was what are they running out at quarterback? Scout what they're doing under center.
Yeah, McCoy's really a talented player. He's a guy that we actually got to watch a good amount. You know, he was at Idaho last year, so that being our first team, we got to watch a lot of his film. You know, last year he's a guy that can extend plays, can run, a good decision maker. You know, protects the ball, but is definitely dangerous with the ball in his hands, and has proven to be a good quarterback for them this year.
Talking about your quarterback, it's funny because it's like, you know, armchair quarterbacks, people love to criticize your guys' offense. He's completing 84% of his passes. He's got like 177 quarterback rating. The numbers are damn near.
That's not bad, right?
Yeah, right. It's weird in that, like, when you look at kind of the results versus the stats, where can his game go? Where can this get better? Because from just a raw numbers standpoint, it doesn't look like there's a lot of room to get better.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I know Dylan knows, hey, here's the things that I can improve and get better. I think when we're operating within the system, he's obviously making some great decisions. He's very accurate. He's done a good job of taking care of the ball. And with that being said, we did have a turnover last week. We've given up, you know, more sacks than we have in the past. And I think those are things that you can, dial back and say, okay, how can I be better at my position? And I promise you those are things that he's doing. So continue to make great decisions, protect the ball, and let's make sure we don't go down with it in the backfield. And we'll put ourselves in great situations.
Can we play the new fun game of what you're doing right now? Because I hear a sound that sounds like a Nerf gun or something. Like, where are you and what are you doing?
I literally just walked in the house and I'm kind of sitting here in the back room waiting to get off the phone with you guys. And I hope that doesn't stop.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
I don't mind talking to y'all, but yeah, like I just got home and ready to go see the family. So okay. I'm kind of just hitting the ground here.
You're in family mode.
Sorry, I didn't realize. Yeah, I didn't realize I was being a distraction. I was hoping you didn't hear it. So my bad.
But we were just hoping like one of the kids was shooting you with it. I think it'd be fantastic if one of your kids was trying to cap you with a Nerf gun when you walked in the door.
But what is that sound?
Titan is about to go to a football practice here in a second, so I'm just kind of killing time. But yeah, I'm sitting here in a chair and I'm kind of banging a golf club on the ground.
The golf club. Okay.
But I'm not hitting it.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let you go. You're
that's on me though. I apologize. I didn't realize it was making a loud noise there.
No, I just was racking my brain about what the heck that was.
That's the sad part about us, coaches. Other people ask you about the O-line. We're fascinated just on your 40 time and what you're doing
in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
literally just walked to the door. Thursday is kind of like coach's heaven, right? Like it's you get done a little bit earlier in the day. We're a morning practice team, so this is my chance to make some recruiting phone calls on this day, and then I get to go watch Titan practice here in a second, which I'm pretty excited to go do.
Good. All right. Well, enjoy that, and good luck on Saturday. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
All right. Bye. Unitas Community Credit Union, like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas.
I love it. You ever see a cheetah stretch? No, you just go.
That's a great line.
That is a great line.
Because maybe they do stretch, though, is the thing.
I think they just run.
My dog stretches.
Yeah.
Down dog,
they do like a good morning sort of thing.
Yeah.
I would be terrified standing, if at any given point I'm just standing there and you said sprint as hard as you can, like, I'm terrified. Of what might happen.
Yeah, no, it's like baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to pull a hammy.
Exactly. And I work out every day, and I feel like I'm in good shape. But you know what I never do? I don't sprint. If I'm sprinting, I'm being chased by something. And I think about that sometimes. Whenever you see a big play like that, you see the coach running down the sideline, I am shocked that we've never seen someone
just snipered.
I mean, and let me just, if that ever happened, it would be the single greatest moment in college football history.
It would be pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. It would be funny.
Someone running down the sideline, bam!
Do Duck fans, one last, well, I guess we can come back here. We've got the Dan Lanning postgame show next.
You ever see a cheetah stretch?
Hell yeah. Great Dan Lanning drop. Yeah. Are we, if you're a Duck fan, because that was as...
Look, he's not thrilled with the first 2 weeks.
That is as
tight.
What?
Tight? Was that kind of tight?
What is the word for that? He was not into it today.
He's just
and
short.
Maybe it's that he was at home. I usually think that he's in his office, but he was home. He was kind of checked out of football, maybe.
Waiting to, you know.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're a Duck fan sitting there going, he's in a bad mood. This is great. We're going to win by 30. I don't know.
As if the coach being in a mood affects the way the teams are going to play.
Well, that's how fans think.
I just think it's, how about this? I think it's been an intense week of practice.
Yeah, he was ready to shut her down, I think.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning. Good stuff. All right.
And yeah, someone bringing out the Joe Pa run. That is the greatest run in college football history, but that was not a, that wasn't a hamstring. That was the
oopsies. Do you have the balls to ask Dan Lanning if he's ever had a moment like that in football?
Probably not this week. Let's wait like for a
well, you don't have any more access to him this week.
No. I'm saying like, you got to wait for like a big win, you know?
You're saying you're picking your spots.
You got to pick your spots up.
Bye week next week.
Yeah, maybe we'll see how the Civil War goes, and then maybe that. It's a bold question. Coach, you ever had bubble guts on the sidelines?
Yeah, when's the time you had to go number two so bad you had to do something about
it? I'm guessing he tells me that it's a choice. I'm guessing he says that diarrhea is a choice.
You just decide to put it off until you can get back to the locker room?
Getting sick's a choice, pulling a hamstring's a choice. I'm guessing that.
Okay.
You gonna see? You ever see a cheetah have to stop in the middle of chasing a gazelle to take a moment? No, man. Adrenaline kicks in.
All right. The Dan Lanning postgame show next on The Fan.
You ever see a cheetah stretch?
He did drop a y'all, which is interesting. I have not heard him say that yet.
But I don't mind talking to y'all.
Y'all.
Oh, yeah. We did get a y'all.
So he's going to his kid's football.
Mm-hmm.
Another thought. Do you chat him up? Let's say you've got a kid on that team.
Yeah.
You chatting him up? Is he sitting there?
Not about football.
Really?
No, I would never ask him about that.
Well, what would you talk to him about?
God, anything.
Baseball?
Anything other than that.
The presidential debate?
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like I can have a conversation with just about anyone, but like, I've had this a couple times. Like, Metallica is my favorite band in the world, and I've had the fortune to meet the members of that band a couple different times to a buddy of mine, and he gave me the one piece of advice: don't ask him about music. And I was like, it's a valid point. Like,
right.
You don't, I'm not going to go up to James Hetfield and be like, hey, you talk about guitar riffs. No. Like, and so I talked to him about football. He's a big Raiders guy. So I think if I was standing on the, and I was just some dude, cause here I would talk to him about our show and, oh man, it's nice to actually get to meet you face to face. If I was some dad and down there and Dan Lanning was on there, I'd either ask him about his kid or, you know, just, I don't know. How do you like Eugene? Or ask him something about music.
Which one's yours, Dan?
Yeah.
Oh, that one? Yeah, a little slow, huh?
Yeah. Little slow. Yeah.
And what do you do if you're the coach? Lanning shows up.
That's a little weird.
You're like, now do you like, well, you kind of crank it up, you peacock a little bit.
Does that cast a bit of a weird shadow? You know? Look, there's two ways to handle that. I mean, my kids didn't play a lot of sports, but I was always very careful not to be sports dad. I just, that was not.
Well, it's different. Well, I mean, I'm not saying sports dad. He may be sports dad. I don't know. But if you're the coach, yeah, Lanning.
But it's the same sort of thing. Like, if you were an ex-professional athlete, you got one of two guys that are showing up to practice. You either got guy that was like me that's like, dude, I'm stepping way back. I don't want it. Like, I'm not coaching here. I'm just here observing. And then you got the other guy that's like, I should be running this thing. And I think we know people that are like that. I really do.
What if Lanning comes over and just rips your whistle off your neck and takes over? You know?
I think you just let, you know what,
you
coach?
Just let it happen.
You just let it happen.
They're fighting for clicks. We're fighting for wins.
You know.
Just, all right. Well.
You gotta have some, what do you say, social awareness? You got some Larry David in you there? Just take a step back.
You ever see a cheetah stretch?
I'm guessing that Dan Lanning does not make his presence known at football. He seems like the sort of type that wants to sit in the bleachers and watch his kid.
Probably climbs to the top of the bleachers to make sure recruits. The other parents as a deterrent don't climb the 20 steps up there.
He's calling recruits, he said.
Yeah.
By the way, a quick follow-up on Ashton Gentry.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, I'm fascinated by him because he was just so good.
Yep.
Well, is so good.
Yeah, it's not like he's bad now.
Yeah, now he sucks, but against Oregon, he was great.
He was terrible.
He was the running back for Boise State. I was reading about him. I saw a feature on him. You know that he was doing football in Italy? Did you know this?
I did not. I thought he was a Florida kid.
Well, he was. Well, actually, he's Texas.
Oh, why did I think he was a Florida kid?
I have no idea. He was in Italy, and he showed up at a high school in Texas, and he's one of those kids where, like, they didn't really know he was coming. Nobody knew much about him. And he just comes out and tries out for the football team. And they're like, oh.
Yeah, you should do this.
Yeah, I think we're going to be pretty good this year. And so that was in Texas. I'm not sure where.
And then, he's from Jacksonville. I guess that's where he was born.
But he was over in Italy. I don't know why. Maybe his old man was over there.
I mean, he's been...
military or something?
He's been good from the get-go. His freshman year, he averaged 5 yards a carry, 7 touchdowns, 800 yards. Last year, 1,300 yards, no, 6 yards awesome. A carry, 14. I'm just amazed that no one was able to pry him out.
So he was in high school in Texas, and he did not get a lot of offers at all.
Yeah.
Like, nobody saw that guy coming, and I don't know if that's because...
Dude, it happens all the time in Texas that if you don't play at a big marquee program, if you're not the biggest guy in the world. I remember LaMichael James said that. I think LaMichael James' best offer he said was outside of Oregon was like TCU. I think when you're in those big states and there's that many different teams and leagues, I think sometimes in those big states you can kind of fall through the cracks.
You need a couple things to happen too, because so much of the recruiting happens before the year where you really like break out. A lot of guys, if you're behind a great player, you're not going to get the run as a junior that you need.
Yep.
To get the attention. So, like, Marcus Mariota was the same case. He had another senior ahead of him. He only had 1 year to really show what he had, and it was kind of late in the recruiting cycle. So,
but it is crazy. So, his senior year, he ran for 1,800 yards and 41 touchdowns.
41 touchdowns?
But, you know, and I remember, I think it was with the Rodgers brothers, they had a connection to Oregon State, and what happens is Damian Martinez was this way, too. It's like, if you get on a kid early and you're a late bloomer, sometimes that kid feels indebted to you.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, man, this is the guy that was riding with me from the beginning. And obviously, Genty's a different guy. I'm sure Boise State takes whatever NIL they have and they pay that guy.
Well,
but,
wait, hold on. This is what I'm getting to. Yeah. So this is what happened with him. So, by the way, he went to a high school in Frisco, which is a big, that's outside of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And that is a big high school football area. So I don't know why he was overlooked. Nobody really offered him. He went to Boise State, and then, as you said, he was really good there, and a bunch of teams kept, in this article, they were saying that the coaches went to him and said, look, or no, he went to the coaches and said, I am being bombarded by other coaches trying to get me out of here. And they said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to leave my legacy here. You guys wanted me. I'm into legacy. I'm staying. And I guess the community or somebody out there gave him $300,000 and a car, and I think there was something else.
And it was enough, huh?
And well, yeah, but he didn't even. This was after he said he was staying.
Huh.
They just said, "Dude, we love you so much. Thank you for staying here. Have this." So I don't.
He's maybe a different cat.
He's just He just said, "I thank you for having me here, and I want to stay here because you were the ones that gave me a shot and nobody else would, and now they all want me, so screw them."
Well, I always said this, it would have been different for me because I didn't necessarily love BYU, but I always thought it would be hard because I tried to leave at the beginning of my time at BYU because we weren't a great fit. But by the time I got to be a junior and I was an all-conference player, it would have been really hard for me to leave my junior or senior year because at that point, those were my guys. And, I'd built a little life and knew the area and the campus. And even though me and that school never really were great fits for one another, you kind of build a life there. And I will never understand the guy that spends 3 or 4 years at a place and then for 1 year just is like, screw it. But again, I think it's a different time. Guys transfer high schools all the time.
Well, and money now.
Yeah, and money. But I just think that there are some kids that are wired that way that are just, you know what? I'm happy and comfortable here.
That was really weird with like the Travis Dye thing. He was like an all-time Oregon leading rusher, and he went to USC for 1 year. Everyone was like, wow, it just
couldn't.
Hard to wrap your head around sometimes.
Well, and it's one thing. Like if I was at BYU and someone said, hey, here's $500,000 and BYU is like, we're giving you 6 cents and a chicken sandwich, then sure. But if the money was most of the time, for some of the money's not that much.
You're going
different.
Chicken sandwich, right?
Well, clearly I'm taking the chicken. Well, we talking
chicky parm.
Yeah, chicky parm parm. You know, like it's one thing if the money is astronomical, but sometimes I don't even necessarily think it's about all the money. Like I get who's a Jordan Addison from Pitt to USC. I get that, but the Dye thing, it's weird. I looked it up, by the way. He was a 3-star recruit. He had a 74.
This is Genty
coming out of high school.
Okay.
He was the 200th best in the state of Texas, 91 in the country for his position. So 3-star kid, 74. His other offers that he had, you're kicking yourself. You know what the top offer besides Boise State was?
My Jayhawks.
Rock Chalk.
Damn it.
So his offers were Boise State, Kansas, New Mexico, North Texas, Texas State, Tulane, and Tulsa. So dare I say, I mean, the Boise State one was his, I don't know, Kansas and Boise State. Those were by far his two best offers.
Well,
I think it's awesome that,
he's
that,
amazing.
That he stayed at Boise State.
And watching him play, dude, he is Heisman level good.
Yeah.
And I really kind of don't know why he's still playing. Yeah. He should shut it down. He's going to be a first-round pick.
Yes. By everyone that I've seen, because I still look at the NFL draft boards quite a bit, he and Ollie Gordon, depending on who you look at, the kid out of Oklahoma State, it's 1-2. Yeah, he's not the biggest. He's like 5'9", but he's like 215, and the dude just runs with an anger and an attitude. And he's got wheels, man. I mean, he saw that when he took that, was it 60, 70 yards against Oregon?
Dude,
there's some fast guys on the Oregon Ducks secondary squad.
And he was running away from him.
He ran away from him with a ball in his hands.
They did a good job on him, and he ran for 190 yards.
Yeah,
someone pointed out he had 25 carries, and on 10 of those, they bottled him up for three or less. Yeah. But he pops these big ones, though.
Didn't he have like six tutties the week before?
Yeah.
Six. Yeah, he went nuts against Georgia.
He has nine touchdowns already.
He needed every one of those touchdowns because they were in a dogfight. Those weren't Jaden Daniels touchdowns. They needed every one of those.
But no chance at Heisman, right?
No, zero.
I mean, he ain't. No. I mean, he's so good, but it's just not.
No. He
might get into the finalists group.
He might.
If he stays healthy.
Modern day, you haven't seen that. I mean, back in the day, you saw like Ty Detmer, Andre Ware, but you know, that's not even happening anymore. Look, you ain't winning a Heisman unless he scores 70 touchdowns at Boise State. That guy's not winning. But hopefully he gets an invite and he can win the Doak Walker and, you know, all that.
All right. Well, thanks to Dan Lanning. We will have Brett McMurphy of Action Network on at 5:15. We'll talk about the four new additions to the Pac-12. But up next, it's time for In the News. Is Washougal anti-fun?
Ooh, the Shoog.
Here's Buckley.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, busy show. We've had Kyle Bonagura on from ESPN talking about the Beavs and Cougs adding San Diego State, Colorado State, Fresno State. Who am I missing? Boise State?
Boise State would be the four. And that gets them to six. They need to get to at least eight in 2 years. And sounds like they're going to try to at least get to nine.
We'll have more on that with Brett McMurphy coming up at 5:15. He's with Action Network. Right now it is September 12th. Oh, we had Dan Lanning on too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
September 12th, 2024. It's time for In the News.
I don't mind talking to y'all.
I'm your noted newsman. Hello. This, as always, brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is Video Games Day. Did you guys get your video games in today?
I did play. I played this morning for like 25 minutes. I was playing Black Myth Wukong. It's fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah.
It is also National Chocolate Milkshake Day.
Oh,
Do you like a good milkshake?
I'd rather play Wukong than a chocolate milkshake. I give the chocolate milkshake meh.
Is Washougal anti-fun? That was my tease.
What's the Shoog up to now? I don't make it up to the Shoog very often.
Wait a minute. That's the wrong link. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh, well,
what's happening?
Oh, hell.
Oh, boy. Damn it.
Now we don't know if they're up to fun or anti-fun. We don't know anything.
Hold on.
Watching this vicious cockfight right here, Texas State versus whoever the hell this is.
Well, this has been going on for quite some time, but apparently Washougal shot down in the idea of an adventure park.
Defined adventure park. Is this like the one in Wilsonville, like with like bumper boats and all that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know what an adventure park is, right? Like zip lines.
Well, see, there's two types of adventure parks. Like where, like an outdoor adventure park or like with like water slides and zip lines. And then other ones have like bumper cars and arcades. And
this says proposed to be constructed on a 150-acre plot of land on Canyon Creek Road. It would feature a mountain coaster, zipline course, net park, and event venue. It would present the area with a litany of problems, say the neighbors, in the categories of traffic, quality of life, quality of life, environment, wildlife, economics, and emergency services. So they shot it down. They are anti-fun.
Oh, boy.
In the Shug.
The Shug doesn't want it. There's always a neighbor that's unhappy.
The community is very, very concerned about what this will be like.
I would very much want I would think that an adventure park coming in would be fantastic.
Yeah, they don't like it.
No?
And it doesn't sound like it's one or two neighbors. It's like, it's all of them.
Yeah, because I'm looking here. There's an adventure park in Salem, and it's just mini golf and a play structure. That's not very adventurous. But this one sounds like you said there's an event space, like you have concerts there. I got zip lines. There's a mountain coaster, like the one up at Mount Hood, the little sled, like you ride the ski lift up, the Alpine slide. I'm sorry, that thing's fantastic. Is that the sort of adventure we're talking about?
Not in Washougal, it's not.
No, apparently they want nothing to do with adventures.
So they say no.
It's disappointing.
Beaverton police are warning us about fake fundraising accounts for the family of the deceased nurse, Melissa Jubain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're saying, watch out. There is only one sanctioned GoFundMe tied to her family.
Yeah.
So...
The sad part is
they've raised $86,000 so far.
Isn't that? I mean, you want to know the worst of human beings? That poor woman was murdered coming back from her honeymoon, basically, and there's someone out there that's trying to steal money with her name.
I know, isn't that crazy?
That is like the worst. I mean, that's demon list. Oh, and by the way, that whoever the hell is playing Texas State, that's Arizona State.
Well, yeah, it says it right there.
Yeah, it didn't say it at the bottom. Like right now, I was watching a replay. I assumed that some random team on a Thursday night was not Arizona State playing Texas State.
Good. Both 2-0, Texas State, the favorite.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
Texas State's kind of an upstart little program.
Well, I stand corrected at I thought this was Texas State versus some directional school I'd never heard of. All of a sudden, my interest is piqued.
Texas State is formerly Texas State San Marcos.
Okay.
It's formerly Southwest Texas State, too.
They just change a lot. Well, now they're the Cats. That's all I know.
Former local great Sam Levitt at quarterback for Arizona State.
Sam Levitt.
West Lynn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe that Arizona State's the dog in this. How about that?
Yeah. A woman has survived a 150-foot plunge off of Racehorse Falls.
That's a big plunge.
Dude.
Did you fall into the water, though, I'm hoping?
No.
Oh.
She did not.
She 150 feet and hit the rocks?
She did. It says that she had fallen 50 to 60 feet and then tumbled another 100 feet down a slippery rock slope.
Well,
and she was hanging out down at the bottom. And crews repelled. They had to rappel down. They put her into a litter and lifted her out of the canyon at the base of the falls. And then they carried her out about a quarter of a mile using a wheeled litter.
She had
serious injuries.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I would assume so. Like, the fact that you survived a 50-foot fall on its own, impressive, and then you slid down another 100-plus feet, I was like, there's no way you could survive a 150-foot fall, but if you're sliding, kind of tumbling down the rocks, maybe.
But I tell you what, if you look, there are photos
of
where she landed and where they're rappelling from.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, I'm honestly kind of blown away.
She's lucky.
If you told me you fell from 50 to 60 feet in a canyon somewhere, I'm assuming that you're donezo. That's usually not a survivable fall. I mean, that's like if you jump from a 60-foot bridge and hit the water, there's a good chance that you ain't walking out of that thing. Consider her very, very fortunate.
Got some issues up in Vancouver, Jace.
First, the Shug. What the hell's happening on my side of the river?
Well, these are so disturbing to me. I almost don't want to present you this story.
All right, what do we got now?
Well, it's animal abuse.
I don't like this at all.
Did you see this?
No. No. What do we do now?
Well, there was a woman strangling a cat.
Why?
I don't know.
Was it her cat? Was it a rando cat?
They're eating the cats.
Was she trying to make a burrito out of the cat? She just decided to strangle a cat.
Okay, the only reason I'm telling you this is because the cat survived.
Okay.
But apparently the policia, la policia,
yeah,
they were already at this apartment complex on an unrelated call.
And they happened to see a woman strangling.
Yes. The manager of the apartment complex knew they were there, and whoever that was ran to the police and said, hey, there is a woman who is visiting another tenant in our building, and she is in the lobby strangling a cat.
Huh. Can I ask where this apartment complex is? Because I got an idea.
Let's take a look.
I just want to, you know.
It doesn't really say.
Okay.
It doesn't really say. But the woman was arrested.
Yeah.
And the little kitty named Apollo was okay. They didn't say if it was like somebody's pet. They just said they transported the Apollo to the Humane Society.
But, I just, you know, I talk about the...
Oh, here it is. 1000 West Columbia Way.
1000
is where it is.
Because, you know, the apartment complex that I ride through on the tales of the interesting things that go on. If you told me that someone was strangling a cat, that's the least shocking thing that would come out of that. Oh, yeah, this is over in downtown.
Oh, it's downtown? Yeah.
Yeah, it's downtown.
So they say that the woman seemed to be under the influence of drugs.
Yeah.
As she walked around holding the cat by the neck.
Yeah.
Before shaking it and appearing to strangle it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's down there, and that's in there. We're going to be in some industrial areas down there. Yeah, that's not good.
She then said that the cat was her emotional support cat, but it didn't seem to be giving her much emotional support, seeing as how it was being strangled.
Yeah. Well, maybe the cat was at fault. I don't know.
I just have a real hard time with those animal cruelty stories,
it's,
man.
It's hard. It's hard.
It really is. Those are the worst.
Well, because the animal has no recourse, right? There's just... It's
a cute cat too. You need a cat? You want Apollo? You want to take Apollo in?
I was talking about this the other day because I've never had a cat because I've always had dogs.
Let's get you Apollo.
If my dog would tolerate a cat, I'm not against having a cat that would just like sit on my chair and like give people the stink eye. But yeah, it's not gonna. I don't think my dog would like it very much. Plus, then I'd be cat guy, and that's a whole other thing.
You don't want to be cat guy?
I don't want to be cat guy.
Why not? Who cares? Who cares what other people think, man? Take in Apollo. Apollo needs you.
I think if Apollo came over to my house, I think I would be the least of his worries.
The dog would strangle the cat?
I don't think that would work out very well for him.
Your dog would eat the cat?
They're eating the cat.
Is your dog Haitian?
Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, the development around OMSI gets the green light. We'll talk about that next on The Fan.
This is The Fan's Window into Sports. A view into today's top stories. Brought to you by Window Nation. Online at windownation.com.
Look at the Buffalo Bills injuries. Taron Johnson is out due to a forearm injury. DeWine Smoot is out due to a toe injury. And they're going to be a little bit shorthanded on the defensive side of the football.
Schefter.
Well, so it's all right because the Dolphins are shorthanded running the ball. So the Bills don't have any healthy D linemen. The Dolphins don't have any healthy running backs. It's a wash.
Okay.
I'm excited about this one, though.
All right.
Josh Allen, by the way, 6-0 on Thursday night. Never lost.
And they're the dogs.
I'm not a big Dolphins guy, so I'm going to go ahead and load up on the Dolphins. The Bills.
They're eating the dogs.
Who's leading the charge? Powered by Battery Exchange. Power up your summer. Wait, sorry. The Fan's Window into Sports, brought to you by Window Nation. Buy two windows, get two free with zero down and no interest or payments for 24 months. Get your estimate on the books now by calling 866-90-NATION or going to windownation.com. Yeah, that's right.
We'll do it live.
It's Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan. Hello. This is in the news for September 12, 2024. It's brought to you by The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com.
When the 1930s.
Wow. That's right, Tim.
Old Bugsy Siegel.
Why did they talk like that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Isn't that weird?
And I actually, did anyone really talk like that, or is that just something that we
I don't know.
Like maybe Vikings wearing horns.
Maybe like, it's just like the movies.
Yeah, sometimes that just happens. The stigma sticks around it, and you're like, oh, that's the way it was. No, it wasn't. It's kind of fun, though.
Hey, the development around OMSI has gotten a green light.
So no fun in Washougal, but fun in OMSI.
Well, I don't know about you, but I think OMSI's great, but there's just nothing down there around it. It's so weird.
Well, there's homeless, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they need stuff to... They need, like, dad stuff, like beer places and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Gentrified a little bit. About 17 different coffee shops. How about that? A couple
well,
of wine
yeah,
bars.
I mean, we are in Portland.
Yeah, exactly.
A
right?
weed shop.
Yeah.
Maybe oh, some
you go.
Lawn croquet or something. I don't know. Just, there's nothing down there.
What, they're giving it a $15 million boost? I don't know what
Well, 50, that's the initial.
What does $15 million get you?
Well, that's just the start. So they, it says Portland leaders have unanimously approved a $15.4 million investment in the neighborhood surrounding OMSI. They voted in favor of the funding at a meeting this past Wednesday. Their approval allows Economic and Urban Development Agency Prosper Portland to work alongside the Portland Bureau of Transportation to upgrade South Water Avenue, thus advancing the development. I think all in all, I thought I read $100 million.
Yeah, I'm looking here. They're saying when it's all said and done, they're estimating.
Oh wait, $1 billion.
They're estimating $120 million.
This says the OMSI district is slated to break ground in 2025. Museum leaders expect the project to garner about $1 billion in economic development. Okay, yeah. There you go. That's so, not the cost.
Yeah.
The first phase of construction is about 75% funded. They plan to gather public funds for the remainder. So well, they're coming after your money.
I mean, when I look at the renditions of it, it looks cool. I mean, I've said this a million times. No city that I've ever been to uses their water space worse than we do.
I know.
And so, I mean, you're right there on the water. Do something cool with it. And it does look like, they're doing that there. And that we built the Tillicum Bridge right there to walk across it. And so, you know, spruce it up down there. It makes you feel like you want to go down there. Get some. And they said that there's going to be some housing and some.
Yeah, 1,200 units of new housing.
Yeah.
A minimum of 20% reserved for low-income families, retail, educational space, and a new waterfront park.
There you go.
But
I like it.
But to do that, they have to build new roads, and that's where they're going to start.
Yeah. Well, I like what we got cooking here. You know, you get that area going down there, you know, the Rose Quarter area down there, whatever. What's that district that they're calling that? The Knights are kicking like $500 million in down there between the Lloyd Center and...
Are you talking about Jump Town?
Well, it's not Jump Town, but it's like the something or other. There's a district down there. That they're the city and the Knights are dumping all that money into. That they're basically trying to improve the area between Moda Center and Lloyd Center, and Lloyd Center eventually is going to get redeveloped. You know, it's cool to see parts of the city that are undergoing big revamps.
Yeah, it's the Albina area.
Yeah. So, you know, that's I know we make fun of the city for never having done anything, but. I told you this last year. I got to go out to Detroit, and it's been a decade since I've been out there and caught a Wings game.
Did you light a tire fire?
I did not light a tire fire, and I'm telling you, Detroit may have the worst reputation in the United States as far
anyone?
As cities go. Detroit has done such an incredible job with that city, and I was talking to some people down there, and they said it starts with little things like this. These little initiatives and going neighborhood by neighborhood, and yeah, it takes a long time, but you got to start somewhere, digging yourself out, and I applaud. That it feels like Portland is trying to dig our way out of this, and it's a great city, and I love it. And fingers crossed. You gotta give it some time and patience.
Right.
Someone's saying pretty close to the Lucky Devil. So there you go.
Yeah, it is. The Lucky Devil's right there on Ross Island Bridge, I think.
Yeah, right over the
pretty
right
close.
Across that bridge. Yeah, hop, skip, and a jump. And then we can throw some fancy cupcake shops, and you know,
yeah.
Hey, I like it.
Okay, well,
take your kids to OMSI, and then mom takes them home, and you stick around and head to the devil.
I would like to offer. You said, you know, be patient and stuff.
Yeah
I feel like we are. You know, I mean, it's taking a while.
I'm just trying to be less cynical when it comes to city projects, and that's hard.
I'd like to mark that, and I bet that's not true at all.
I'm trying, man.
Okay,
trying to keep
that's
positive,
good.
Trying to keep a positive.
That's spirit. Good. Let's keep that up.
My trip to Detroit changed my outlook on what a crappy city can do.
For sure, man.
With yes. a couple decades.
Yeah, and we're not a crappy city. We got some issues.
Yeah, if Detroit can do it, although they got sports.
I mean, they were a crappy city.
Sports helped them. And maybe we get baseball, though. We're
sports.
Not going to put that in the
I love
city.
Sports. Yeah, well.
Sports is sports.
They're trying. Again, patient.
Yeah, but
been waiting for that for 25 years.
Be in the city, even if we get it built, it's out at Redtail. That's the cool part about Detroit is they built all those new stadiums right in one area in downtown, and through a casino and then the housing and all
what
that.
What were they thinking?
And it was great. That area down in Detroit kicks ass.
You know, I'm marrying into Detroit now. You know that, right? You missed this, but you were gone.
What?
Meatball is engaged.
Oh, you get did miss
right
the news.
The hell out of town.
Yeah, he's engaged to be married. How about that?
And she's from Detroit.
Yes.
She had larceny in her heart.
That's right.
She was born in the D. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Congratulations, yeah, Meat.
Thanks. Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Meat.
You and Meat and the whole family.
They are not going to get married until 2026, they're saying. But
I like that you said thank you for congratulations that were not being offered towards you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I deserve some.
It was to the entire family. It was to Nurse Nice, it was to Meat, it was to the larceny gal, the whole deal.
And her family's great. They live in Detroit.
Yes. Ask him about it.
Miles. Oh, I've already talked to her about it. Miles. What is it? The miles are like, M&M thing?
Well, it's 8 miles.
8 miles?
Yeah, yeah. I think they're like.
That's the famous one.
I think they're 17 mile or something. I don't know. 17 mile drive?
You don't want to be
near
8 miles.
Wait, they live in Monterey.
Okay, how about that?
No, I'm just kidding. They live in Detroit.
So right here. Sue went to Detroit last weekend, went to dinner by the arena. It was great. Ton of people out. Good to see. See?
Look at that, Jason. Somebody agrees with you.
Telling you. Next time you get out to Detroit to see your family, you will be blown away by the downtown part of that city.
Will I?
Yes, you will. I guarantee.
Well, now I won't, just to spite you.
When you go out and see that and you go to, you walk around downtown where the casinos and the ballparks are and everything, and right in the heart of the city where everyone craps on,
well,
you will come away impressed.
Look, I'm secretly hoping they don't get married out there, but, you know, that's not my choice. Although I do have some influence and I've already started my...
Push it to Hawaii.
I don't know about
Destination
Hawaii.
Destination wedding.
I could do Mexico.
Oh, there you go.
You know? Maybe Italy. Depends on who's paying.
I'm guessing you. Well, no, it's the...
It's the bride's
it's
family.
The bride, right?
Yeah, we pay for... believe me, we've been talking all
the
about
the rehearsal
this.
Dinner yeah, is supposed to be on you.
Yeah, we pay for all that kind of stuff.
Rehearsal dinner. One of my kids gets married. Guess who's not having a rehearsal dinner?
Why? So you don't have to pay for it, you cheap bastard?
I'm not paying for a rehearsal dinner.
Why not?
Let's say that right now. That's
your responsibility.
Well, if one of your daughters gets married, you're right. The groom's parents will pay for that.
I'm just telling you right now, the rehearsal dinner, that's the dumbest thing I could possibly think of. A rehearsal dinner for a wedding.
See, rehearsal dinners rule. He doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it. He just doesn't want to spend the money.
So stupid.
He doesn't like his kids.
Rehearse. Like, we need to rehearse.
No, you have to rehearse the wedding.
I don't have to rehearse S.
Okay, you don't have to rehearse the wedding then. But just having a dinner with, like, basically the A team of people attending your wedding, that's awesome.
My son is an idiot.
We get where your kids are in the hierarchy.
Absolutely.
The wallet matters more, kids.
I'm with the Mike Leach thing. Here's $10,000.
You get the invite to the rehearsal dinner. That means you're like A-list for that wedding. That rules.
That's right. And you get drunk two nights in a row.
That's right.
Instead of just the
and
one.
Frankly, you probably get better food on that night than you do on the big
That's
wedding night.
That's a great point.
Because you usually have it at a nice restaurant.
That's
you rent
right.
out a room.
That's right.
You that hard up for booze and dinner.
Well, no, it's a good time. I mean, you go out for booze and dinner every weekend.
Weddings are fun. Come on, man.
That's right. Rehearsal dinner at Jerry's Tavern, boys. Let's go. Pub beer and Italian sausages for everybody.
The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. That's in the news September 12, 2024. The Hot 5 and 5 is next, followed by Brett McMurphy, Action Network, on The Fan.